If you drive tomorrow down the expressway in anger at everyone else, come into your office, bark at your secretary, grumble over your pile of papers on your desk, make life generally miserable for everyone around you, don't expect that you will experience much of the love of God.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I would imagine all of us have maybe had days kind of like that before. Maybe not those exact things.
Well, perhaps one of these things, hopefully not all of them at the same time. I'm trying to imagine this guy going around like a bear with a sore head and making everybody absolutely miserable, you know?
And then you wonder, why am I not experiencing the love of God in my life?
Why am I not experiencing the love of God? Yeah. And we're looking at what Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's a huge statement.
Yeah.
Now, he's not saying keep God loving you. It's not that I need to do something to keep God loving me. The love of God streams towards his children. And of course, Jude is writing to Christian believers. But he is making it clear that if we are living in the kind of way that perhaps in an exaggerated fashion I tried to describe, don't expect to be experiencing much of the love of God in terms of your experience as that day rolls on or as it comes to an end. It does make a difference how I live. Yeah. And I want to live so that there is free course for the love of God to be running into and through my soul and out into the lives of other people as well.
And in today's message, we're going to take a look at some things that we can do to keep experiencing God's love. So if you can, hope you'll open your Bible to the book of Jude as we continue the message, Remain in God's Love. Here's Pastor Colin.
When you are tempted to doubt God's love for you, call to mind the unchangeable and indisputable and overwhelming evidence of God's love for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you begin. So you're struggling with some overwhelming difficulties as you've come to church today. You wonder how you're going to face this coming week. You've said at the back of your mind, I don't know if God really cares about me at all. I'm saying to you from the scriptures, begin here by calling to your mind intentionally the overwhelming and indisputable evidence of God's love in Jesus. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, some of us desperately need to work this into our minds and into our souls. We have been plagued with a psychology that we've kind of grown up with, a way of thinking that says that I will only be loved by God if I earn that love. Some of us really think like that, and we find it very, very difficult to get away from that. And I want to speak directly to that this morning. Remember the love of God. Let me try and make it a little more personal by taking an example. We're going to have two imaginary characters this morning. Here's the first. We'll call them Bill and Ben. We'll have Bill now, we'll have Ben later, okay? Bill's in high school, imaginary character. Bill has been brought up in an evangelical church just like this, where he is taught that God loves him. He believes this, and he has put his faith in Jesus Christ. Bill's a perfectionist, and he's rather shy, timid by nature. He's had throughout his high school career a string of straight A's in his school report. That's what he aims for, Bill. And when he doesn't get it, he's pretty disappointed with himself. He's a sincere lad, and he genuinely wants to please God. He has many fears, though, and he sometimes wonders if God can really love him. When it comes to the communion service, he sits and wonders if he should really take the bread and wine, because there are, after all, many things in Bill's life that are not really as they should be. His thought life is one of them. He really struggles with that one. And then last week, when he was at school, there were some kids who really got on his case, and he lost it. He let out that afternoon a string of foul language. And he felt so ashamed. A Christian doesn't behave like that, Bill said to himself. In fact, sometimes Bill has wondered if he's really a Christian at all. Bill needs to remind himself of God's love by grasping God's unconditional love to him as he is. Bill, you do not earn the love of God with your straight A's. You do not earn the love of God by achieving victory over every temptation. Bill, God does not stop loving you when you fail. God loves you, Bill, with an everlasting and an unchangeable love. Now, you may be a little older or younger than Bill, but essentially that's what you need to get into your mind because you struggle with the same thought pattern as he does. How are you going to get that into your mind? Here's three ways to remember. The first, the Lord's Supper. Let's begin there. You see, at the very center of Christian worship, God has given us an exercise to keep you in spiritual shape. We come to a table where we receive bread and wine that direct our attention, if we follow God's signposts, to a cross where the body of Jesus was broken and the blood of Jesus was shed for you. This is love, the Bible says. Not that we loved God, but that God has loved us and given his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And God uses the supper to tell you that he loves you. Some of us are just sitting here and wondering, going out and saying, oh, I don't really know if God loves me. You may go through great days of great darkness, bereavement, sorrow, confusion, pain. And right now you find it difficult to see where God is or where his love is in all of this. But God gives you bread and God gives you wine. And he says, look at this cross and don't ever say that I don't love you. Don't ever say that. Secondly, the scriptures. A while back, a friend of mine, pastor, was in India for a series of meetings. And when he arrived in this particular town in South India, there were posters all over the town that were advertising this campaign that was going to be held in a large stadium at which he would speak. The poster was supposed to say that he would bring the evening messages. Unfortunately, there was a typo. And the poster said that the visiting pastor from England would bring the evening massages. A fascinating thought. But you know, the work of the preacher is to massage the word of God into your soul. To massage it into your soul until it changes not only what you think, but what you feel. That's what a massage does, isn't it? Now, I know that some of us who experienced little love earlier in our lives, or some of us who are perfectionists by nature, have great difficulty in feeling that we are really loved by God. So you need this workout. Massage the Word of God in its simplest form into your soul. Memorize and personalize scripture that speaks to you of the love of God. Personalize it. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in your meditation, in your reflection, massage that into your soul until eventually it will change not only the way that you think, but I promise you the way that you feel. God demonstrates his love for me in this, that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Allow God to tell you that he loves you. That is what the word is stating. This is what God is saying to you in the scripture. This is his revelation. Now listen to what he says. Thirdly, prayer. I love Garrison Keillor's books about Lake Wobegon. You ever read these Lake Wobegon books? Some of them are absolutely hilarious. And he describes at one point a rather awkward teenager growing up, in fact, throughout the books, growing up in a small town. And at one point, this lad makes a speech at a high school graduation. And afterwards, someone comes up and says, hey, nice speech. But the kid can't receive a compliment. Oh, no, he says, no, I was just rambling. I didn't know what I was talking about. I was just glad when it was over and I was able to sit down. He couldn't receive a compliment, Keeler says, because inside there was a raging monster that didn't just want to hear nice speech, but wanted someone to fall down before him in worship. And that's probably where some of us are. For some of us, we are so consumed either with our own pain or with our own perfectionism that we do not hear the word of God. We cannot receive the affirmation of God's love. So when God says, I love you, you brush it off and go on thinking exactly as you did before. Now, that is why Paul tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There is a distinct work of the Holy Spirit to convert the very feeling dimension of our souls to a true faith in the God who loves us. That is why he prays for this to be happening in the lives, not of the unconverted, but of believers. He asks in Ephesians 3 that God would give to young believers the power. Notice that word, the power to grasp how long and high and wide and deep is the love of Christ. He's saying, what I'm praying for you is that you'll have the inner strength, the inner capacity to contain the knowledge of this love that up till now you've just been brushing off as if it was something of no account. Now, that's a great way to pray. Oh God, you know how little this container is able to hold the knowledge of your love. How shriveled this dried up soul is. Open it up and expand my capacity to contain something of the breadth and depth and length and height of your love for me. Start praying like that. Get in this gymnasium. And you will find that the love of God begins to touch the inner places of your soul. That's the first thing. Remember.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith in a message called Remain in God's Love. And we'll get back to this message in just a moment. Well, I know we've got a lot of podcast listeners out there, and so we're excited to let you know about a new podcast. It is a companion to Pastor Colin's book called Hike Through the Bible.
Yeah, and each week I'll read a chapter from the book, and then I get to discuss it with some friends. So if you join us on the podcast in 50 weeks, we'll cover 50 chapters of the Bible together, and in a year, you'll have hiked through the entire Bible story. Now, if you think hiking sounds like hard work, don't worry. I promise you, this hike will be an easy, gentle pace, and it's not too late for you to get started. So join me. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
We do hope that you will check out that podcast and that you'll subscribe, not just on the audio podcast, but also the YouTube channel as well. Well, let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
That's the first thing. Remember. Now, I did tell you the first was the longest. Here's the second. Who said amen? That was the wrong place to say. Secondly, obey. Now, Jesus spoke about this clearly in John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you obey my commandments, he says, you will remain in my love. Now, it's pretty clear when you read that Jude had these words in his mind when he wrote verse 21 under the inspiration of the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, we've had Bill's story. Very briefly, let's have Ben's story. Here's another high schooler. He's been brought up in the same church as his friend Bill. He also has been taught that God loves him. He believes this, and he also has put his faith in Jesus Christ. And last week, the pastor was in fine form and preached a marvelous sermon on God's love. There is nothing, he said, that you can do that will make God love you more. There is nothing, he said, that you can do that will make God love you less. This was of tremendous help to Bill, but it became a stumbling block to Ben. Because on Tuesday, you see, Ben was in the shopping mall with some friends. They were looking through the racks of CDs, and Ben saw one that he would like, and he slipped it under his coat and then walked out of the shop with his friends. Later that night, he was watching TV. He found what's called an adult film. He knew he shouldn't be watching it, but he felt in the mood, and so he watched it anyway. Ben, of course, knows that what he was doing was not right, but God loves him. And God's love does not depend on anything Ben does, right? That's what the pastor said. Ben, and there are some Bens among us, needs to hear this. Ben, what you are doing right now will bring God's disciplining love on you. It will cost you your fellowship with God. And frankly, Ben, if you persist in this kind of behavior, it actually raises questions over whether you may even be deceived about your own salvation, because those who belong to Christ declare war on sin. You see, there's all the difference in the world between Bill and Ben. We can't always see it, but God surely does. If, Ben, you remain, obey Jesus' commandments, then you will remain in his love. It's the word of God to you. This does not mean, Ben, that you're earning the love of God by not stealing and by not watching particular films. But it does mean that disobedience to God forfeits the knowledge of his fellowship. And frankly, Ben, all the attendance at the Lord's Supper and all of the reading of the Bible and all of the praying for a greater capacity to contain the love of God is not going to do you any good unless you're prepared to change what you're doing that is in direct disobedience to God's command. The father never stopped loving the prodigal son, but the son did not remain in his love. He went his own way, and it was a disaster until he decided to return to the father and submit himself wholly to what the father was calling him to do. The sun never stops shining, but on a day where there are clouds, we do not feel the warmth of the sun, just as the prodigal did not experience the love of the father that was waiting for him to return. Sin are like the clouds in the sky, that though God's love streams towards us, cut us off from the knowledge and the fellowship and the affirmation of that love flooding our souls. When Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God, he was reminding us of something absolutely fundamental to healthy relationships. If you want to cultivate a close relationship with someone, don't do what annoys them. This is very simple stuff to take home. If your wife does not like you getting up at midnight to practice the trumpet, don't do it. She may not stop loving you because you play the trumpet at midnight, but because it annoys her, she may very well take a high-heeled shoe and fling it at you. If you want to remain in the love of God, don't do those things that displease him. If you do, it's not that he'll stop loving you, but there will be a conflict in this relationship until you are reconciled with him. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians, by the way, to believers, be reconciled to God. Think about that. If you drive tomorrow down the expressway in anger at everyone else, come into your office, bark at your secretary, grumble over your pile of papers on your desk, make life generally miserable for everyone around you, don't expect that you will experience much of the love of God. You are grieving the Holy Spirit, and when the Spirit is grieved, he is silent. He does not speak the love of God to your heart. And some of us are spending a great deal of time under the clouds. We wonder why communion and Bible and prayer don't do us any good. And the answer is simply, there's disobedience going on. It's got to stop, and we won't be reconciled to God until it does. Thirdly, and most briefly of all, reflect. Here's something for Bill and Ben and everyone else. The experience of the love of God is about giving as well as receiving. God's love is a love that is both given and received. Even before the creation, within the mystery of the Trinity, Father and Son and Spirit, there was the giving and receiving of love. Eternal, wonderful, glorious mystery. Now, keeping yourself, myself, in the love of God means more than me receiving it. It means me reflecting its very nature, and that involves giving it. And that's what John makes clear in his first letter when he says, if we love one another, then God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us, if we love one another. God's love does its work in you when it brings you to the place where you are truly able to love another person with the same love that he has given you. And we read it from the very words of Jesus, I am the vine and you are the branches. Think of that incredible picture. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. A Christian is a person who is in Christ. The life of God, the love of God, the Spirit of God flows into the life of a Christian believer. It's not just that you believe in him, it is that you are in him, Christian, and he is in you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And just as the life of a tree flows into its branches, the life of God and the love of God flows in to every member of the body of Christ. So some of us will go home very shortly to a difficult relationship. Some of us will go tomorrow to work in a cold and heartless place. Keep yourself in the love of God. And as that love flows into you, you will have something to give that is a reflection of the love with which you have been loved. And the most beautiful thing about it is that it is the most natural thing in all of the world. It is not a case of me saying, now I've got to go and love these horrible people. It is that the life and the love of God flows into the believer. Keeping yourself in the love of God, you will have compassion even towards some cold and heartless people around you. Keeping yourself in the love of God, you will find the ability to forgive that most difficult offense. Keeping yourself in the love of God, others will see the love of God in you.
Well, this is Pastor Colin, and I want you today to take in the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Jesus Christ for you. Will you pause for a moment and take this in? God loves you. He has poured out his love, demonstrated his love in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Don't just blow over that. Don't just move away and say, I've heard that before. Listen to how Paul puts it. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you're a believer, you can say that before God today. The Son of God loved you and he gave himself for you. Take that in. Lay hold of it. See the extent of the love of God for you at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's placarded there. It's painted before you. You say you don't feel the love of God. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ and take in the love of God in Christ redeeming you today. And remember that that Savior who poured out his life for you is alive for you today. He's at the right hand of the Father. He lives for you. He's interceding for you. He stands up on your behalf. He is for you. And if God in Christ be for you today, whatever you're facing, who can be against you? Steve, there is life-changing power in the knowledge of the love of God in Jesus Christ today. I need to take that in every day, and so does every believer. But what a marvelous reality this is.
It is. And thanks for that reminder and that encouragement. And it may be helpful for you to listen to today's message again and be reminded of that truth. It's entitled Remain in God's Love, and it's from the series by Pastor Colin, Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, 7 Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life. To order a copy of today's message or the 7-part series on CD, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or stop by our website, openthebible.org. And at Open the Bible, we want even more people to be able to know and experience the love of Christ. And so as you support Open the Bible, know that you're helping us share that love of Jesus with others all around the world. If you'd like to support that, you can give a gift online at openthebible.org or call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin. And I love the story of the thief on the cross because it's the best story we have to help people understand grace. You know, many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life either. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can everyone you know and will ever meet. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. We've seen God use this film to help many trust in Jesus as the thief did. So who is there in your life who needs to understand grace? For more information or to watch this film for free, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.